Someone has said that we spend the first few years of a child's life teaching them how to walk and talk.
Can you say apple?
Apple.
Well done! Well done, you said apple!
And then we spend the next few years...
Stop, Mum, you're ruining my life!
...trying to get them to sit down and be quiet.
Really? Asking you to take out the rubbish is ruining your life? Yes!
You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. You know, if you're bringing up boys at the moment, you may have noticed that they tend to be a little bit more active than girls. At times, even downright destructive. But if you'd like some advice on how to get them to sit down and be quiet, I'm afraid you may have come to the wrong place. To explain why, here's Glenn Stanton, author of Secure Daughters, Confident Sons.
You know what? Boys should be encouraged to do what boys want to do. You know, hit one another, smash things. Boys want to smash things. I'll take my son out and we'll break bottles on a rock, you know, but he can't break bottles in the street. We have to teach boys, you know what, there are ways to be masculine. There are ways to destroy things. There are ways to break things, but there's also limits as well. You know, you can't just do anything you want to do. A gentleman, a good man, is a man who learns the boundaries. Here's what I can and should do. Here's what I can't do. I talk about Captain Sully Sullenberger, the man who landed dramatically the U.S. Airways flight into the Hudson River. Nobody looks at him and thinks, you know, that is a macho guy. But he was way macho in what he did. He learned to do the right thing at the right time. That is the masculine quality, and that's where our power as men comes from.
That's a great example, but of course, we can all probably think of many bad examples. The journey from boyhood to manhood doesn't happen by accident, though. And believe it or not, research shows the majority of boys actually do want to become successful men. Here's Heather Walsh.
Even more than having a successful job or lots of money, the academic surveys reveal that having a happy marriage is consistently one of the top answers young men give as a major life goal. And when we smother boys instead of mothering them confidently, we end up with men who are boys instead of boys who become men. And that's not good for our culture.
This is the final episode in our four-part series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Today, Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan offer some more practical help on how to successfully raise the next generation of men and women. Here's Ger.
Can you summarise the main ideas we have covered already?
Yeah, the sexes are different, and that's what we talked about in the first programme in this series, Ger, about how male and female is different. And in the following programme, we talked about the qualities of male and female and what makes a good man and what makes a good woman. And last program, we looked at what a boy and a girl need most.
The suggestion is that mom's role is to kind of be the pusher towards manhood. That's like to gently push this boy and encourage him towards manhood. Whereas dad, on the other hand, kind of is to draw boys, invite them. It's kind of like dad's in the community of men and you're welcoming your son into that community, drawing him in by making him a part of that even when he's a boy. Whereas mom has to kind of gently push her little boy away from her a little bit. Not now in a horrible way. You know, you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. Just to gently allow him to break free of her and move on to be his own person. And dad at the same time draws him into the community of men. That makes it sound very clinical. It isn't, of course, ever like that because it's happening in all different ways in tandem. But it's very important that they both move that way.
And also the next thing is learning about what a good father is. This is another key aspiration research shows is there in the boy, that when he grows up, he wants to be a father and he has this aspiration to be a father. So boys need to learn fathering is valuable and a noble calling, and that takes place in three ways. First, our boys need to learn that fatherhood is not a status, but rather an action or a vocation. Dad has to put in the hours with boots on the ground. So if he's not there, he can't do the job of dad. And you might have a problem with being harsh or impatient with your kids, but if you're involved in their lives and they get the message loud and clear that you care, even though you don't do it perfectly, that way beats being absent. Second thing is being a dad means mentoring. leading and patient modeling. It's much easier when boys learn the qualities of a good father when they are young rather than needing to unlearn unhealthy behaviors and attitudes and beliefs after they have become fathers. But if there's good modeling from your dad or, as we said, from granddad or Uncle Jimmy or whoever it may be, that's really helpful. And the third thing, and finally, our boys and girls need to know that their father's crazy about them and delights in them. And that is very important for them to understand that a father loves them, because a mother's love is taken for granted, but a father's love is invaluable. And if it's shown, it gives confidence in terms of personal acceptance and the empathetic development of our children and helps them to grow up to be healthy men.
Fellas, I know that may seem like a daunting task, but as Len Stanton explains, us dads have a fantastic natural teaching opportunity. He calls it the benefit of throwing kids in the air.
I was in the airport one time. They have these kind of half walls. And I saw this baby literally just flying up in the air, fly up in the air, fly down. And I was studying all this and I go, I bet that's a dad. Walked around the corner and sure enough, it was a dad. I was on my way to China. In China, in Indonesia, everywhere you go in the world, you find out that not all dads, but lots of dads throw their kids in the air. Moms are not as likely to do that. They hold their kids close. Now, Glenn, what difference does that make? Okay, in daddy's hands, looking dad in the face, the kid is just excited. And dads love this. But the child is learning a very important lesson as they go up into the air. And that lesson that they're learning is, oh my goodness, the world can be a very scary place. And you can see it in their face. But gravity impacts the child and the child starts to come back down into dad's arms. Dad catches it, and what does that child do? Does that child go, Dad, please never do that again, or again? They love it. They're learning as they come back down into dad's hands, the world is a safe place. So within those 3 second time period, the world's a scary place, the world's a safe place. They never will learn the world is a scary place lesson from mom. They have to learn it from dad, but they learn it in a safe sort of way. So both mom and dad provide different kinds of experiences that the child needs. And so there is a benefit to dads throwing children up in the air. Moms need to understand that. They need to get that.
Sure, I'm sure there's plenty of moms who'd love to throw their kids in the air at times. Don't dwell on that too much, but we do need to take our first quick break. Seriously, you're listening to Family.ie. This is the fourth in our four-part series of programs called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Our discussions are based largely on the book of the same name by Glenn Stanton, and there's more to come in just a moment. We'll turn our attention to raising secure daughters as well, but do keep in mind there's more information about the book, along with many other radio archives and resources to help your family thrive at family.ie. That's www.family.ie.
Think about if we had a room full of men who have been married 50 years or more. Ask those men if their wives have power in their lives, and they will laugh, and they will laugh because they will say, you know what, I got to 50 years in marriage because I know who's in charge. I know who the boss is. And it's not because the wife is, you know, has to hike up her pants and proclaim every day who's in charge, but the woman has incredible power just by being who she is. Think about this. Manners exist in the world because women exist. If it were just men, there would be no such thing as manners.
Have you been at our dinner table?
Yes, mums, us fellas might be slow learners, but we do need you. This is family.ie. Continuing our discussion now on raising secure daughters and confident sons, over once again to Stephen, Heather and Jer.
I take from what you're saying then that a mother's love is taken for granted, but a father's love has to be demonstrated and modelled, and there is an interaction that must take place between the father. And that is the way the father's love for the child is communicated to the child. But you say there's mentoring, there's discipline, there's directing. It's a directive role. Are there particular times in the life of a child when it is more important that this fathering role should occur?
I think the father's role is there all the time. But during adolescence, when the man's brain is absolutely swamped with hormones, which push them in certain directions. The cement is setting during adolescence in terms of the character that they'll have probably in adulthood, unless they intentionally choose to change that. So, you know, they're being shaped, and this is an opportunity for dads to be present rather than absent during adolescence of boys and girls in order to help to shape to grow healthy men, and obviously for in the girls of women, so that in that adolescent period, there is so much that can be taught.
Out of those qualities you spoke of, we're looking at the destination where a boy is going to go and the journey he's going to go on. Could you talk a bit about that?
You know, some boys think manhood really is only just when you're old enough to drive, you can drink, you can eat what you want, you can sleep late, and you can go to the kind of movies you want.
Well, what's
wrong
with that?
Well, if that's your choice for adulthood as a destination, it's really not much of an adulthood, is it? We need to bring people up, help our boys to understand that adulthood is more than that. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we can do that is by sharing with them how we've grown up, particularly dads talking to their sons. Our children do listen to those things. I mean, you might think, they don't want to hear about my great uncle, whoever it was, but they actually do. And they may well come back to you and say, tell me about that again, you know, because kids do register things like that. And it's really important for them to recognize the journey that they're on. Sometimes for mothers, that's quite hard. Sometimes it conflicts with our mothering heart to send our boys out to say, go off now on your own to whatever it is. You want to bring them and make sure they're all right and change their shoes and put their little rugby shirts on for them and all the rest of it. But actually, we're not doing them any favours if we do that. We have to send them off confident that we have taught them well and that they know how to do for themselves. So the son has to realise the journey he's on and not want to skip past stages. Sometimes people want to grow up too fast. Mm-hmm. We see this a lot in girls, but it is evident in boys as well. A wise mom will try and help a child to pace their growing up years, helping them to kind of build stability, to build maturity, to learn not to give up when things aren't going so well, and all of those things, so that, you know, we build in them these qualities and they become good men.
As you observe your child, if you're absent, if your boots are not on the ground, you know, if you're not there, then you're missing some of the important clues in terms of his potential development. And therefore, it requires, say, for a dad or a mother not to be dictating that they become a physician or they become a soccer player or whatever it is, if they've no interest in those areas. But observing the God-given disposition and orientation of the child, drawing that out and drawing them into that world, in an adult world, at age-appropriate levels and at different stages, not rushing the journey but bringing them along, means that you're developing a great man, or in the case of a woman, a great woman here.
Absolutely. And part of that is helping them to discern what opportunities are good for them and what are not good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a wise parent needs to have a discerning heart. Maybe discernment is an old-fashioned word to use, but I think it's a very appropriate word, because not everything is good for your child, but sometimes they have to find that out. And so if you help your son or your daughter, but we're talking of son particularly here, to discover what's good or bad, eventually they too will be able to make those choices. And then you can stand back confidently as a parent saying, well, I've taught them well. They'll go out into the world and they'll make good choices, because I've seen little Johnny choose well when he was 8, 9, 7, whatever it is. That's what makes a good man, someone who has learned and trained. You can't become a good adult or a competent, a confident adult if you haven't actually had some training. Good men don't just happen.
Yeah.
You don't just wake up one morning and think, oh, now I'm a nice, mature man, I've got it all together. There's a school of life that people have to go through, and they need wise teachers, and parents can often be those teachers. But of course, as we've already mentioned, if parents are absent, there are others that can teach. And we can learn a lot ourselves, and even kids can learn a lot by themselves. You know, they can learn from watching. Children are great modelers. They can watch.
And just two or three other things very quickly on, you know, raising a boy to be a man. A boy or a young man should never be afraid to be a gentleman. You know, that is a great character trait in a boy becoming a man, is that he's taught to be a gentleman by the way he treats, he sees his father treating his mother, or his father treating his sisters, or whatever, you know, that he can be a gentleman, and he gets accustomed to the idea that we see things through, we bring things to completion, we're not bluffers and never get anything accomplished or finished, because his sense of self-worth will never grow if that happens. But probably the one closing thing I wanted to say on this one, Jerry, is that the idea of learning self-sacrifice is that selflessness separates the men from the boys. You can be 25 and totally selfish. That is not the characteristics and traits of a man. A man is a person who sacrifices themselves for others. And they have this attitude and quality which we must teach our boys, and they must learn, and they learn it by observation mainly.
Those are some amazing qualities that we're talking about. But what about our girls? What about women?
Well, a good woman is the more intricate of the species, shall we say.
We all know that.
Well, now, you know, we can talk. No. Really,
For some men, the greatest challenge, the greatest adventure is to discover whom the woman in their life is.
And some men take years to do so.
No wonder.
Because we're very complex creatures.
It takes a lifetime, doesn't it?
Takes a lifetime. I think we'll move on now. We could get stuck there.
Yes, I couldn't think of a better place to take a break myself. This is family.ie. So far on today's discussion of Secure Daughters, Confident Sons, we've looked at a few practical ways that we can help our kids along in their journey toward adulthood. Stay tuned for that final segment of today's program. We'll have a few more hints on how to guide girls towards being a secure woman. We'll also hear Glenn Stanton's story of his own dad. It should serve as a warning for all of us. So you'll hear more from us right after the break, but don't forget that we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's family.ie. This is the final episode in our series called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. Today, we're looking at the potential of boys and girls to become healthy men and women. And so far, we've looked at some of the unique qualities of boys. We've explored the concept of dads, inviting them into manhood. And now to wrap up the discussion, Heather, what else would you say to parents who are raising daughters?
Well, we're guiding girls towards womanhood. Remember, we said young females are becoming women, young girls becoming women. So we need to guide them down the road to becoming a woman. And our job as parents is to help girls to become that special feminine creature that God created her to be, with all the wonder of that and all the complexities of that. Adolescence for girls can bring with it a lot of anxiety, particularly in the whole area of self-image and self-esteem. Esteem and all of that. And really, a good, sound mom and dad supporting and affirming a young girl will give her a great route map to get her from adolescence through to womanhood.
It's absolutely amazing the power that exists in whom a woman is.
It's something magnificent, and they don't have to force it. You know, you don't have to put it on. It's not the men aggression. They have this power by being a woman. It's just by being what she is.
I think another thing that girls need to learn is the value of relationship. You kind of often can watch young children making relationships, and it's very stormy at times. Well, she said this and she said that, and I'm not invited to her party. And it's interesting to watch how girls compete to have a little community, because it's very important for girls to be in a little community, a little group, a circle of friends. And anthropologists find this relational nature is true of women around the world and across diverse cultures, as women often arrange to do their daily work in the community of other women. So like we talked about, we're bringing up boys into the manhood and into the community of men. We're bringing up girls into a community of women, and we need to help them to appreciate the value of relationships, because otherwise they could become isolated. So it's really important for them to value relationship. It's easy for them to have relationship. They don't necessarily value it.
Anthropologists also have shown through their research that in every culture, in every period of time, in every populated place on the earth, marriage in some form has been instituted where men and women are permanently connected and vice versa. And over time, every culture has found that married men become better citizens. The impact that a woman has on a man is not just a cultural construct, but it affects the future of society, because what a woman does to a man in terms of her womanly influence on that man, she puts manners on him. She makes him become a better citizen.
I think that's wonderful to draw that out. I love to hear that, because, you know, sometimes women don't feel that they have the power that they really do have. So where the guys innately want to make a difference, women have kind of grown into that a little bit. But yes, you're right to just point that out, how important it is for society. And that brings us back to why we have boys and girls and the two different sexes, how they're different, and it's not a competition.
And aren't you glad about that? I mean, who would ever decide who the winner is? This is family.ie. This four-part series has been based on the book by Glenn Stanton called Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. I hope what you've heard today is that moms and dads, we need you both. What you do, what you don't do, and the example you set will literally affect generations. So intentional parenting is well worth it. Before we close today, Glenn shares his own personal story of his relationship with his dad.
I was the last one to see him at the funeral home. I didn't get to see him right before he died. I'll try not to get emotional with this. He had a white beard, and I just stroked his beard, and I stroked his hair. It's really the only time that I had ever touched my dad intimately. We had wrestled, never really sat in his lap, because my dad got the message, you know what? Be there for your kids. And he was there. He did everything with us, but he wasn't intimate. And so it took my dad being gone and laying there, lifeless. I held his cheeks and I said, Dad, your fight is over. You don't have to be good enough. He didn't get that affirmation from his dad, so he constantly had to prove to the world that he was good enough. And I had to prove to my dad that I was good enough. I don't want my son to have to prove to the world that he's good enough. I want to show him that. And I would say, Dads, don't let it be that your son gets to have that experience with you when it's too late after you're dead. Have that intimacy with him. Let him know that you care for him, that you love him, and that he matters to you. And I'm thankful that I will get to see my dad one day. My dad came to the place where he trusted Christ, and he was learning to love Jesus. And I know that I'll see my father one day, and we will be able to be loved by our Heavenly Father like we needed to be loved here on earth, but yet weren't.
And we hope you realize that you're not alone. We're in your corner to help in any way we can. There's loads more on our website, family.ie. We think you'll find it's a wealth of information, whether you're single, married, separated, divorced. We try to have something for everyone in the family. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's www.family.ie. You'll also find podcasts of this program series and other topics we've covered, including how to drug-proof your kids.
A lot of parents don't understand today that, we kind of think, sure, I had a few drinks when I was a kid and it didn't do me any harm kind of thing. And the reality of it is we don't know what harm it did us. You know, it's like a lot of these things, you know, people in the late teens, early 20s are actually doing themselves severe brain damage and they just don't understand the damage that they're doing. As I say, it'll probably be another generation before we understand the long-term effects of that.
Responsible kids from how to wow.
What's a day like in your home? What's tomorrow morning like? It's a school day, right? Do kids just get up? Do they get up and say, here I come, Mom? Oh, thank you for fixing me such a nutritious breakfast. You know, that's not what happens in most homes.
I am telling you for the last time, the bus is going to be here in 18 minutes. I am not going to call you again.
Now, if you want to see it change, and this work, literally, it can change almost momentarily. Tomorrow morning, don't wake them up.
Hedges, loving your marriage enough to protect it.
I think because it's so alluring, it's so attractive, that men are stupid. They think that they can handle it, a little bit of it, and it won't make any difference.
Yes.
The thing is, it's like a drug. It's like being on heroin, except for it's going on in your mind. And that fix, if I can call it that, that pornography gives is so destructive to the marriage and ultimately destructive to the well-being of the person.
Again, that's www.family.ie. So on behalf of Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, I'm Ronan Johnston. Slánga fóill. Thank you for listening to family.ie. Families strengthening families.